coming up on KUCB News. Unalaska's clinic director has resigned, and the boys' basketball team starts their season with a win streak. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. After less than a year and a half on the job, James Keck has resigned as executive director of the Iluluk Family Health Services. Keck submitted his letter of resignation to the clinic's board of directors on December 22nd.
I just wanted to be closer to family and grandkids, and you know, I'm still here to support in any way I can, as long as the board wants me or, you know, anybody in the community. People have my cell phone and I'll still have the same number, so feel free to give me a call if you need anything.
Keck has accepted a job as vice president of operations at the Corvallis Clinic in Corvallis, Oregon. His last day in Unalaska is February 22nd, but he says he's offered long-term remote help to IFHS's board of directors.
Normally when you leave, it's done, but I understand how hard it is to recruit, and I understand the challenges that are happening here at Iluluk, and so I offered that.
The clinic had three interim directors before Keck started in August 2017. During his time at IFHS, the clinic received Federal Tort Claims Act certification for the first time, changed electronic medical record systems, switched to Synergy billing, and is working to fully integrate services with APIA. Right now, Keck says the clinic's board of directors is working to figure out a long-term plan for finding his replacement. Their next regular meeting is Wednesday, January 16th at 5:15 at the library. Last week, Unalaska's boys basketball team started the season with two wins over the visiting King Cove T-Jacks. On Thursday, the T-Jacks led the Raiders by one after the first quarter, but then Unalaska slowly pulled away, winning the contest 81-62. The Raiders were led in scoring by junior John Esnardo, who scored seven threes in the first half, finishing the night with 25 points. King Cove's Graydon Severian also contributed 25. On Friday, King Cove was plagued by foul trouble. By the end of the final period, the T-Jacks had only four players left on the floor. Unalaska picked up the second win, 72-61. The girls dropped both their games in King Cove. On Thursday, the rookies Elena Mack outscored the entire Raiders team. She had 50 points. Kayla Villamore led Unalaska with a career-high 24 points. King Cove cruised to a 74-49 victory. On Friday, the Raiders limited Mack to 20. With 4 minutes to go, Unalaska was trailing the rookies by eight but could not pull any closer. King Cove picked up the win, 50-34. Both of Unalaska's basketball teams will travel to the Delta Dean Cummings Tournament in Delta Junction next week. KUCB will provide live coverage of those games. The girls will play their first home games of the year against Sandpoint at the end of the month, while the boys will play away. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At their regular session, councilors will discuss contributing to an Alaska Municipal League project looking into how municipalities can tax online sales. And they'll also establish taxicab rates for the year. The City Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. Also tonight, the Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a meeting to discuss a new language program. Here's Executive Director Virginia Hatfield.
People who are trying to learn English can come in exchange, kind of people who are trying to learn other languages and create partnerships where people can help each other learn languages.
You can hear more about the program tonight at 7 p.m. at the Museum of the Aleutians. For decades, Jesuit priests credibly accused of raping children and young women have lived and worked in the Northwest. Northwest News Network's Emily Schwing spent more than a year and a half tracking some of them to a house on Gonzaga University's campus. That's where we catch up with her to find out about what seems like a well-kept public secret.
That house at Gonzaga University in Spokane is home to retired Jesuit priests, and there are a lot of stories about what happens at the Cardinal Bea House. I had a friend tell me that you guys have a really awesome collection of high-end scotch and whiskey. Can you confirm this?
No.
But we'd be happy if somebody wants to donate something like that.
I've also heard you guys throw good parties. Can you confirm or deny?
Well, I don't know.
Hospitality. Call it hospitality.
That's Father Jim Torrens. He lives at the Cardinal Bea House, and he says there are no bands, and there's no dancing.
You know, the more questions you ask, the more worried I would be about what is going to come out. We got enough black eyes, you know.
Some of those black eyes come from 92 Jesuit priests who've been accused of sexual abuse in Alaska and the Northwest since the mid-1930s. At least 20 of them lived here at Cardinal Bea House going back as far as 1986. That included a man named James Poole. Back in 2003, an Alaska Native woman, Elsie Boudreau, accused him of sexually abusing her when she was a child.
I've known that Father Poole and other perpetrators have lived on the Gonzaga campus. To me, basically what that says is that they're taken care of. Mm-hmm. And they are protected by the Catholic Church when the victims were never protected.
Boudreau was the first Alaska Native victim of clergy sex abuse to go public with her identity and the identity of her abuser. She wasn't James Poole's only victim. According to Boudreau's lawyer, at least 20 others accused James Poole of sexual abuse. In a 2005 deposition in Spokane, Boudreau's attorney asks Poole this.
Did you ever tell any of the women that you engage in sexual activity with that you were their friend, their lover, their brother, and their priest?
Yes.
Were you sincere?
Yes.
How many women have you engaged in sexual activity with in your life?
24.
So why do priests accused of sexual abuse live on a college campus? Jesuit leadership says this was the only place they could send them where these men would be under constant supervision. They say there were safety plans in place and that Jesuits like James Poole were supposed to be monitored and chaperoned at all times.
Have you been interviewed by any students?
But in that same 2005 deposition, Poole told Boudreau's attorney he met alone with a Gonzaga University student.
Okay, a man or a woman?
Woman.
And she is a student at Gonzaga?
Yes.
And who was present when she interviewed you?
Nobody.
I found other evidence that accused priests were unsupervised. There's a police report from 2009 that says residents at this home didn't have to sign in or out. That same year, students profiled the house as part of a class project and interviewed another Jesuit, James Jacobson. In legal documents and a deposition, Jacobson admits to using church funds to solicit sex from prostitutes in Alaska in the 1970s and 80s. And DNA tests show he fathered children with several Alaska Native women.
A lot of the scandal was that people were covering up the abuse.
Father Frank Case lives at the Cardinal Bea House. He blames church leadership.
They'd send them off to one of these rehab programs, and then they would come back with a good housekeeping seal of approval from some psychologist saying that he's ready to be reassigned to ministry.
In fact, Father Case did exactly that as the provincial. He was in charge of the Jesuits in Alaska and the Northwest in the 1980s. In 1988, Poole left Alaska and applied to become a hospital chaplain in Tacoma, Washington. As provincial, Case signed off in a 1989 letter. He called Poole, quote, a Jesuit priest in very good standing. We checked with Gonzaga, and in an email, a spokesperson told us Case says he didn't know about the accusations against Poole when he wrote that letter. I looked into Case's resume. After he led Northwest Jesuits, he was called to Rome in the 90s, where he worked in high-ranking roles for the Jesuit order. He also has deep connections at Gonzaga now, where he's vice president.
Bulldog's coming up here pretty soon.
Sure.
Do you guys go to games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I sit on the bench.
Oh, you do?
He's the chaplain.
Well, that's how you're so familiar to me.
Father Case is the chaplain of Gonzaga's beloved men's basketball team, the Bulldogs. And Father Max Oliva jokes about the seats available to retired Jesuits.
And we get free tickets, but where you sit is way over in the corner underneath a crucifix. That's the sacrifice.
James Poole and James Jacobson both testified in depositions that they, too, had attended basketball games. The university does not make decisions about who lives at Cardinal Bea House because it's owned by the Jesuits. But the building is on Gonzaga's official campus map, and it's listed in the campus directory. I tried to ask Gonzaga University President Thane McCullough about these men and their presence on campus. I made multiple requests. Instead of an interview, Gonzaga's spokesman pointed me to a memo McCullough sent to faculty and staff this fall. We must continuously
work at educating ourselves and each other about the various expressions of bias, harassment, and abuse, and hold those who are found to have violated our commitments accountable.
I haven't found any evidence that these Jesuits abused anyone after they came to live at Gonzaga, and we don't know of any accused priests that live at Cardinal Bea House anymore.
The reporting for this series is done in partnership with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. Part 3 of this series will air tomorrow at noon. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.